Good afternoon.
It is that way. So much of live broadcasting is working on the fly. The thing that has struck me this whole past week is how much time we've spent in John 15 and 1 John. It's just the real simple fundamental things. If you expect to get God's attention to commit to you, we have to be willing to choose to obey Him. Very simple. But if you haven't shown any commitment to Him, then why should He commit to you? Well, it gets your attention when in John chapter 2 he says that many believe there, but He Himself committed to no one, referring to Jesus. Believing, the devils believe and tremble. You want to prove your belief by obedience, and that those become works that are what you're showing you believe out of James. Your works actually confirm the word.
Right. All right. Well, let me get back to what I was getting at. And now that you guys can hear me, maybe it'll make more sense. But this morning, and sort of this little, again, this audio problem was a result of what happened this morning with Sam. I get into the studio and I turn on Sam and I'm getting ready to rebroadcast and record and do all the things I normally do on a Sunday. And I turn Sam on and I keep getting these red errors, just error, 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 error. And I'm like, oh man, this is just great. Now, Sam has never been terribly stable, so I never know if it's my computer or the program or what's going on. So, you know, I sought about to let's go ahead and let's copy out all the settings and let's rebuild it from scratch. I got 2 hours, we can get it done in time, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I think if I'm going to relate this to our lives in the Lord, we often just make an assumption of what we need to fix without actually consulting something. Now, this is a foreign term for a lot of us guys, but there's this, usually when you buy something or you get something, there's something called a manual. Have you heard of such a thing?
It's Greek.
Rumors of the existence of such material. I've only heard it in theory. There's a thing called a manual, and in that manual, usually written by the creators of the thing you're curious about, unless, you know, you're getting something from China and then you never know how the translation's gonna go. But in any case, usually the manual is that document. Again, in theory, I've heard that these things exist. There's this document that accompanies a device or a software or a thing that actually can walk you through the use of that particular item. Have you heard of such a bizarre piece of material that exists, Paul? Have you heard of such a thing?
I've heard rumors. I've never actually seen any such thing.
Okay. Come to find out that, you know, there's actually such a thing for Sam. You know, go figure. I ran a search on this particular error, and it said that if you get this error, don't panic. Well, too late. I had already panicked. And it's not on your end. Darn, I kind of had figured it was already. And it says it's a problem with their servers, and you don't need to be concerned, it'll straighten out by itself. Well, that would have been wonderful to have known, you know, before I had spent, I don't know, an hour and a half uninstalling, reinstalling, reconfiguring, etc. And, you know, I think a lot of times Gail says directions. That's another one of those terms as a man, I'm just not terribly familiar with. I'm being somewhat humorous or attempting to be, but boy, do we have this same problem with the Word of God.
Yeah.
You know, God has put in written form out of the goodness and kindness and care of his nature. He has put himself in written form so that we may know him. That we may actually have our own manual to walk with him. Isn't that an awesome thing? Now, what is it? Now, what is it about me that would sort of use the manual as the last resort? What would be in me that I would be listening to that would prevent me from actually just going to the manual straight away?
Pride.
Yeah, that would be it. Because you think, for some reason, I think I know better. I know, for some reason, I think I knew better than the writers of the software, in this particular case. Obviously, I am more equipped, more knowledgeable, and more in tune with the programming code and reasons why things happen than the creators of it. And therefore, I do not need to reference the manual. I can simply fix this myself and be fine. And it, guess what? Didn't work so well, because no matter what I did, I still got the problem.
It's one of those things where being lazy didn't serve you well.
Well, thank you for adding insult to injury, Paul.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
And I apologize for being sorry, but wow.
Right. Well, let's take another step here. And if somebody in my household would grab that phone, that'd be great. Let's take another step here and look at how we as Christians do the same thing. Now, we have just, hopefully, people have just been paying attention to the revivals that have been going up in Vermont. And you know, there's been a few phrases that have caught my attention. One is the train slowing down, get on while you can. And that in and of itself is God's grace.
Yeah.
I mean, that is sort of like the story in the Bible that comes to mind, where God comes up to the owner comes up to the husband of the husbandman of the orchard and sees that tree. Forgive my paraphrasing, y'all are going to get the reference. And he says, that tree hadn't had any fruit, cut that thing down. And the gardener says, hold on, give me another season, let me dung around it one more time and see if I can get anything from it. And you know, I think that's sort of where we are, folks. I mean, really. I mean, I look around at my, and I'll use myself as an example. I look at myself and, you know, I know all the right things to do. I know all the right attitudes to have. I know the parts of the Word of God that I know and I should be doing. And I've gotten lazy. I've gotten comfortable. I've forgotten. And I've sort of lost the edge of the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
And you know, the trap that is sort of laid before us to catch us is not that we instantly turn on God. It's that we become unfruitful. Because you go back and you read about the parable of the seed and the sower, and you got that third group, and the seed has gone out. It sort of grew up, and it didn't really. The cares of the world and the weeds choke it out, and it becometh unfruitful. And that word becometh, boy, I tell you, that's a tricky one, because you look at it as that how many of us that have been around for a while sort of rely on the things we did 5, 10, 15 years ago as some sort of validation of our position with the Lord.
Yeah.
And if that is where our mindset is, we're sort of looking back of all the great things we did yesterday. Well, you know, as much as, and I believe the Bible says in Isaiah, that in a day a wicked man departs from his, or an unrighteous man departs from his unrighteousness, it's forgotten and only his righteousness will be remembered. And the counterpart to that is that in the day that a righteous man departs from his righteousness, all of his righteousness will be forgotten and only his unrighteousness will be remembered.
Ezekiel 33.
Is that what it is? I thought it was in Isaiah, but thank you very much for correcting me on that. But you've got that realization that if you're sort of resting on what you did yesterday, that's not going to get you through today. And I wonder, you know, as I'm using this sort of humorous event that happened with the Sam broadcaster this morning, you know, it's symptomatic of my life. And I bet if people spent some time in their closet and were honest with themselves, it's probably symptomatic of their life as well with regards to the Lord and things in their lives. We just had a great messages preached many, many days in a row. And the seriousness of it, I spent a lot of time thinking about those services and what was spoken in them, and a lot of time repenting of not being what I know I should be for the Lord. And it's fine and well to say you're working on it, and it's fine and well to say you're trying, but you know, a man does what a man wants to do, doesn't he? And a woman does what a woman wants to do, doesn't she?
Yeah.
There is no try, there is only do. If I can steal a phrase from Star Wars. Some people will get the obscure reference, but hey. It's amazing where you can find truth. Truth is still truth. There is no try, there is only do. If you're trying, it means you're not doing it. If you're trying, you're failing. I mean, let's call it what it is. And that's sort of the harsh reality of things. If you're really going to get to the nitty-gritty, and this is the hour of truth, amen?
That's what it's called.
And we just had a whole week of truth. And some of it came in some pretty uncomfortable spoonfuls. At least for me. I mean, I can only speak for me, but I'll tell you, some of it cut me right to the quick. But we just make so many excuses for ourselves about why we don't need to do what we know we need to do, or why we haven't done what we have known for a long time we need to be doing. I mean, all of these things that exist around us, and we yet continue to make excuses when, boy, there's really no excuse. There's really no excuse for me to have wasted an hour and a half on Sam Broadcaster not working when one simple lookup of the problem delivered the answer in less than 30 seconds. And it's that way with the Lord. If we go to the Lord and we go to the manual and we reference that, then guess what's going to happen? We're going to get the answer. Now, how silly would it have been, Paul, if I had gotten the answer and would have argued with the manual and continued to fight, struggle, and surely I could fix this.
Now that's where I come in. I go to the manual and I go, these stupid people don't know anything about this.
But, you know, as believers, it's exactly what we do with the Lord. You know, we have a problem, we try and fix it ourselves, we reach the end of our rope, we finally reference God's Word, and then we want to argue with Him about it.
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, am I the only one that has experienced that kind of behavior?
No.
And I got to tell you, that kind of behavior is not conducive to getting into heaven.
But Lord.
Right.
But nothing.
That kind of behavior is expressly what will send you straight to hell. So we had a several days of really good meetings, really hard-hitting meetings, and a lot of it, for me personally, really revolved around the fear of God and remembering the fear of God.
Yeah.
It also revolved around, as Steve talked about it again this morning, it also revolved around service, and that is service to others. I asked you to look up a scripture before we got started, Paul. It was 1 Peter something or other, wasn't it?
2:17, I believe. Yeah, 2:17.
1 Peter 2. Let's see where we are. Okay, so let's see. Well, this is actually pretty good. Let's go to verse 13. Everybody with us? So we're in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Steve was mentioning about, I think he was mentioning today, about how us ministering to unbelievers through our words and our actions. Did you remember him saying a little bit of that this morning?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so it says here in verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Verse 17, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. That honor all men is what I wanted to talk about just a little bit here. Because if we can get a handle on that attitude, it's going to help us with everything else. You can't honor all men and think highly of yourself, can you? That was your intro, Paul.
Just looking up words. we all approach everybody in every relationship by overestimating our place and thinking less of the people we're talking to, and that shows that you're not in a place where you can love them, because you have overestimated your value and your worth, and you have underestimated the Lord's love and outreach to the people that you're trying to preach the gospel to.
Jesus said to his disciples, you know, the greatest in the kingdom is going to be the servant, correct?
Right.
I mean, I wonder how many of us really digest that as we get up in the morning, as we seek to minister to our families, and we seek to minister to our coworkers, and we seek to minister to those that we have been given to disciple. I wonder, you know, as we get up and as we prepare our minds for the day, we prepare ourselves for the day, I wonder where our head's at. I wonder where my head's at. Because this idea of honoring all men means that if I'm really going to fulfill that part of this passage in the spirit that it's talking about, is to recognize that I am no better, and rather to esteem myself as less than others. And if I am willing to put myself down, then the Lord can be glorified through my walk. Now, how's that going to manifest, Paul? How is that going to show? I mean, what's the practical reality of that sort of attitude? How would that work in your life? Let me ask you, how would that work in your life?
It would mean that I'd be trying very, very hard to assess what the Lord would have me do and do it as often as possible with, and of course it's always possible. It's just, do we choose to do it? And it would also require me remembering that we're not ground inspectors. We're seed throwers, and that's all the seed throwers are concerned with, is throwing the seed.
Remember the scripture where Jesus talks about the guy. He says, when you're bidden to a wedding or bidden to a feast, and don't go sit up near the top, because lest someone more noble or honorable than you come in and you be put down, but rather sit down at the bottom. Therefore, when the owner comes in, he's going to see you down there and say, hey, come up here and sit with me. You remember that whole story?
Yeah.
You know, I look at it like that for me. See, it's very easy to look out and you use the term ground inspectors in your references. It's so easy for us to quantify who's worthy of receiving our time, or worthy of receiving our effort, or worthy of receiving us sharing the gospel with them. Boy, I think if we all went into our closet and spent some time, I don't know that we'd really like the results of that analysis.
No.
But the idea of to esteem yourself as the lowest in the room, if you know, God loves humility. Do you know that, Paul?
That is absolutely true. And he gives more grace to the humble.
He loves humility and he abhors pride. In fact, the Bible says that he resists the proud. You know what we do when we cop attitudes and we throw fits and we have little temper tantrums? That's pride. You realize that, right?
Right.
And when we live our lives in that state, we live in a state where God resists us.
I suspect most of us have spent most of our lives that way.
But if we can get a handle on just this one thing, honor all men, honor those, esteem yourself as beneath those that even you are put over to serve. You know, I look at my job as a husband and as a father and as a minister of the Lord, and the first place I go to if I am confronted with something, as I've mentioned this before, is I assume I'm wrong until I'm told otherwise.
That's a position of humility, and it's something you have to choose to. That's to be where you choose to start.
If you start there, then it allows the Lord to use anybody to speak to you. It's amazing the things that, since I have adopted that policy, it's amazing who I can hear from. You know, it doesn't have to be only Davey telling me, or Steve telling me, or it could be anybody telling me something. And if my attitude is right, I'm going to hear it. I'm going to hear God ministering to me through that person, even if it be the newest believer in the group.
Or the lowliest believer in the group.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
Which would be me.
I don't know. Probably some people are going to argue for that position, Paul. I don't know. But you can only you're only going to do that if you get a handle on honor all men. You're only going to do that if you really get a handle where the Bible says not to esteem ourselves more highly than we ought to. There was a great refrain that we heard over and over and over this week with, without him, without me, you can do nothing, or without him, you can do nothing. I mean, if what are you if you are a thing that can't do anything? You're nothing. Why do we want to esteem ourselves as somebody that can do something or deserves anything? It's pride. It's just pride. And pride is such an insidious thing, and it works its way in our lives, and we justify it, we make space for it, we set up a little room for it, and we put a little table there and give it a little nightlight, and we allow it to stay there, and then we justify its residence because, well, you know, I'm trying. I'm working on it.
Like the Pharisees who walk around, I'm fasting. Yeah. I look like I'm so troubled. I'm dealing with this big spiritual issue.
You know, I think some of us, if we're not careful, you know, the train slowed down. But if we don't get up off the bench and run for it, we're still going to miss it. I mean, we could see it slowing down. We could see it coming. Say, you know what? You know, I'm trying to get there. I mean, until you get up out of the chair and run for that and jump for the door. You're still just sitting still. And I don't want to see people that ought to know better miss this opportunity that the Lord's has extended to us. I don't want to see us miss this opportunity. Because we're just not willing to really take a strong assessment of where we really are. We can, if we still yet give space to those things in our life, we're gonna miss that opportunity again. And who's to say that this isn't the last one God's gonna give us?
Yeah.
We have so many things in our life that we count as important and necessary and critical, and all of it is just nonsense. All of it is just chaff. We go back to the seed and the sower, and it's the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, all that stuff that just chokes out the profit of God in our lives. And we sort of are there, but if we're not producing fruit, I mean, that's a very scary place to be, because Scripture says that every tree in me that beareth not fruit is what? That was for you, Paul. There you go. The poignant pauses are opportunities for you to speak. Just, I thought I told you that.
You always drop those in there when I'm looking something up. I'm not listening.
Look, you're in your... I can't help that, Paul. I am 2,600 miles away or however far away.
Yeah, I know.
So,
I know.
You know, I give you those... you got to just... Johnny on the spot, my man.
I've been neglectful of my duty.
Yes.
And well, I apologize.
There you go. But, man, I got to tell you, they're just... The urgency of us getting off of our rear and actually putting into practice all of the things that we know are right to do is upon us. The time of saying I'm trying or I'm working on it or all of those excuses for not actually doing it, they're not going to hold water before the Lord. They ought not to hold water in your own mind. They ought not to be given space. To continue to stay in that mindset is like setting up a little room in your heart for pride to remain when he needs to get the eviction notice and he needs to get the boot. You can be honest with yourself and say, I'm not trying, or I'm right now I don't care to do what's right. That's probably a more honest answer. That's probably a more truthful explanation of where some of us can be at times. But when confronted with an issue, to say I'm trying to change is simply, well, frankly, it's simply a lie. And we can't lie to ourselves anymore. Go ahead, Paul.
I was just thinking to myself, the image of us hiding that little pride compartment in there is like said one of Jacob's wives kept idols in the tent.
Right.
And that didn't work out so well either.
No. You know, it was last October we had the ministers' conference, and you know, here's the thing. You know, I talk a little bit about again trying to be a little bit humorous about the whole Sam Broadcaster thing. We had the manual that if I had just referenced it, I could have saved myself some frustration. Well, how much of the good word of God have we had that is available, posted online, that we can reference at any time to get a refresher? I mean, rather than spend time digesting nonsense, how much better would we be if we spent time going back over the things of the Lord? And, you know, the volume of that is between every person and the Lord. I mean, it's between you and the Lord how much time you want to, you know, spend with Him. I don't know that spending more time with Him than less time with Him is going to be necessarily a bad thing. I think probably it's going to be a better thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we spend, it's sort of like what Paul said over in Galatians. It says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, I watch the result of my little girl, that if she is allowed to watch too much of a particular genre of TV, you can very clearly see the attitudes that it generates in her. It's like night and day. You give her a week of watching it, she's going to have a certain behavior. You take it away and direct her attention in another way, and her behavior changed. Do you think we're any different? You know, I remember Paul, and I don't know that you do it nearly as much as you used to, but you used to spend a lot of time in talk radio, and it was just negative. The world's coming to an end. It was a bunch of really angry people about things they couldn't fix, which made them even more angry, and it had this pride in knowledge puffeth up sort of effect. And you had all these, and I remember you sort of living in that state, and I got to tell you, it probably colored your attitude about things a little bit.
Yeah, it probably did.
And you separate yourself from that and digest God's stuff and get into His Word and get into His teaching, into His way, and it that will also color your attitude, will it not?
Yeah, it will. And it becomes something you want to do more and more because it feeds you, and you know it feeds you.
Right. You know, it goes back to the manual again. You know, if we're struggling with a particular thing, if we're struggling with a particular attitude, or we're struggling with a particular problem, or we're just struggling with something, and the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, we know that to be true. Amen. We also know through teaching. We also know through teaching that if there is garbage in our heart that we need to get out, the best way to get it out is to fill our heart with the Word so that it sort of pushes that nonsense out. And then the more we keep our heart full of the Word and the Spirit of God, there's no room for it to come back. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if we know that to be the case, we know that to be true, we know that to be factual and of God, why then do we not do it? And why then do we yet continue to allow space for those things we know we should shed? And that's going to bring us to our next scripture today. Oh, I don't like this message at all. I don't know what people think, Paul, but, you know, when I have a message like this, some of me sits literally trembling because I know how utterly guilty I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope people realize that this kind of a message is not something that I'm sitting here intentionally pointing a finger at everybody. I am throwing myself on the altar in mercy of the Lord with regards to it, because there's really no excuse. There's no excuse for us not to use the manual. There's no excuse, once we have it and know it, to not actually do it. If we have everything, we know what to do, we have the ability to do it, and we don't do it, then we're like the servant that buried his talent in the ground and didn't do anything with it. We're like the tree that doesn't bear fruit. We're like the branch that doesn't bear fruit. And the end result of all those people was not a happy day. The end result of all those people we can read about over in Matthew 7, where he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity." The end result is Matthew 7 over there, where it says, "He that heareth these words and doeth them is like a man planted on built his house on a rock." The guy who hears them and doesn't do them is like a man with his house on the sand. Man, I got to tell you, there's so many of us with our houses on the sand and we think we're on the rock. That was the big part of this week, if you heard it. That was a big part of the push of this last week's revival, was that you think you're on the rock, but you don't even realize you're just on sand. And if you don't move, the storm that comes is going to wash you away and you're going to be lost. And I don't care if you're me. I don't care if you're a brand new believer. I don't care if you've been here for 30 years. I don't care. You can still have been here for 30 years and have your faith planted squarely on some sand. Until you look down and really take the time, take the effort, make it worth your while to see if ye be in the faith, you could find yourself cut short. And you'll be sitting there and you're going to be, "Lord, didn't I don't get it, Lord. I just don't." And he's going to say to you, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you." Let's go over to Romans 13 this morning.
Okay.
Now, Romans 13 is expressly talking about authority in the church. And I don't, and y'all can take it up between yourselves and the Lord, but I would count Davey as an authority in the church, and I would count Steve as an authority in the church, and I would count Robin as an authority in the church. Would you disagree with any of that, Paul?
Nope.
And yet we've had years of admonition from Dad. I mean, that would be Davey, i.e. Richard, of just more material than probably any of us have digested properly. And I think we've got the same sort of admonitions from Steve and Robin and others that the Lord's brought through. Amen. Let's look at verse 1 here. It says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." And you look at the word "subject." Do you know what that means?
That means to... subject yourself to them. It means to... a choice you make.
It means to subject oneself, obey, to submit to one's control. Boy, isn't that contrary to our nature.
Surrender, that was the word I was looking for.
Yeah. And it's a voluntary thing. It's not by coercion. It's something you willingly...
Right.
choose to do. So let every soul be subject to unto the higher powers. That means to submit yourself. Again, we have that honoring all men sort of thing. In this case, it's sort of a no-brainer. We honor those that are over us, that God has proven and put over us. Amen? We're told in scriptures to mark them, to follow after their faith, etc. But be subject unto the higher powers. That means to believe, to choose to believe that what they're saying is right and true and appropriate in every way. Well, you can't do that unless you're willing to really humble yourself. And if you don't do that, you're in jeopardy of hellfire. That's the short and long of it. Let's read on. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Again, we're talking about leadership in the church. This is not secular authority. Not at all secular authority. This is the authority and line of authority, chain of command, if it were in the church. Verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Remember I talked a little bit earlier about the fear of God and how what we'd been learning this week sort of reignited a little bit of flame in me about the fear of God. And this is sort of the verse that I've been kicking around. What is it to resist the power? I.e. the authority, let's call it the Word of God. Do you resist it physically? Do you resist it mentally? Do you resist it in attitude? Do you resist it in opinion? How do you resist it? Because it really is not specific here, is it, Paul?
No.
It's sort of generic. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power. How many times have we been told a thing by our authority in the Lord? And our attitude is one of, well, I need to pray about it. Or, and it's not that her earnest is really, we're going to go pray about it. It means I don't like what you're telling me. I want you to stop talking to me now. So therefore, I'm going to say this thing so I don't have to listen to you anymore.
Sorry you have to go so soon. That's pretty much what we're saying.
Again, let's get honest with ourselves. Honest with where our heart really is at. And if you have any doubt of where your heart's at, just look at how you behave. You'll see it. I mean, that which is in our heart, what does the Word say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak.
Yeah.
You want to see where your heart's at, just look at where your attitudes go. Are you moderate? Are you temperate? Do you fly off the handle easy? Flying off the handle is simply a result of pride. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. Now, if we go back to Deuteronomy 28, and I don't think we need to turn there, because I think we basically get the gist. Those that obey and keep all the things that God had commanded them to do, they were blessed of God. Amen?
Amen.
Those that rejected and resisted and disobeyed those things that God gave them to do, they were cursed.
Stunk to be them.
And God doesn't change. If we yet today stand in resistance to the ordinance of God, do you think God's going to bless us?
He can't.
not going. God resists the proud. It's very clear in His Word. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. So if we live our life in the in a state of pride, guess what? God stands in opposition to you. I don't care how many times you go to church. I don't care how much you tithe or how much money you give. It's irrelevant. If you stand and live your life in pride, God exists in resistance to you. And it happens in many, many different ways. I remember receiving a phone call from my brother in the Lord, Scott. And Scott was not my elder in the Lord, but he called me up and said, Rick, I need to talk to you about something. And I could tell that he didn't want to talk to me, that this is something that had bugged him. And he was reluctant to even bring it up. But he called me and expressed a problem. He said, you are, and I'll tell people what it is. He says, you use your money as a way to get out from under obedience and get, you know, as a way to somehow, as if you are going to give a big tithe or offer or whatever, somehow justifies you from walking in obedience to your authority. And I said, thank you very much. I will, I'll take that. And I went and prayed about it, and you know what? He was right. I didn't reject what he had to say. Didn't like it. I can't say I was jumping up and down about it, but I wasn't going to reject it. And it was his love for me and willing to come to me that helped me deal with something that was a problem. There was a problem because I was not really submitting myself to the authority of God. Yeah, I'd made my own little space and justification for maintaining my own opinions and what I wanted to do. It's so insidious how this stuff works. You can do it, and we talked about the, what was it, the deceitfulness of sin this week. We talked about that too.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you what, we can start believing our own line of BS pretty easy. And before you know it, I mean, we think we're okay. Think we're all right. But if we are not submitting to the authority of God, we're not submitting to the Word of God, we're not submitting to the ordinance of God, we are, in effect, resisting all of those things. And the end of the resistance is what? Whosoever
damnation.
Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. When I said before that if you do not submit to God's authority, you're in danger of hellfire. This is why I say it. There is no more try. Gosh, man, you know how many years I've been hearing that, Paul?
God, no.
When I moved to Vermont in 89, I think it was. That's a long time ago for me. I was 18-ish, 17. I don't know. 18, that must have been. When I moved to Vermont in 89, and I would say, I'm trying. I would very quickly get... You know, try is just the accept, is just another way of saying I'm not going to do it. It's an excuse.
I'm going to consider it seriously for a couple of minutes before I don't do it.
It is simply a way to get people to not get on your case about it. And we can't live there. I mean, as a fellowship and as individuals, we can't live in that space anymore. We have to get out of it. We are going to either, what Steve talked about this week, and we're going to be coming short on time. Let me pull this one scripture up. We're going to go to 1 John because he hammered it pretty good, and I want to wrap up with this, and we'll put a nice little bow on it. I think it's chapter 2. We get there. There we go. Verse 3, he says, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. It's the black and whiteness of God's word. Gosh, 1 John is so good for that. I mean, it's all really good for that, but I mean, this is like...
It's all about keeping his commandments. That's all he ever talks about is keep his commandments.
And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments, and we know that it's love God, love one another at the very, very, very basic level. And you can't be loving one another when you're in pride. You can't be loving one another when you're not honoring all men. You're not there. You're not there. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. We're going to wrap it up with that last bit there. You're not going to really see the victory in your life until you recognize that you've been in the pride that you're in. And Steve, open the week with what's called a litmus test. You take a piece of paper, you put it on an acid, and if it's the acid one, then it changes color. You know it's either one or the other. It's an acid or a base. You put this paper on it, it does what it does, and it tells you what it is. And that is what God's Word is. That is the instructional nature of God's Word. That is the black and white nature of God's Word. That is the thing in God's Word that does surgery in our heart that tells us you've got a cancer or you're clean. Look, man, just get into His Word. Acknowledge that it's right. Stop fighting it. Stop fighting it. There's not going to be any of us spared based on how many times you go to church, how much money you gave, what your last name is. Man, my last name is Utzler. Do you think that matters to God when I'm standing before Him? Oh, you were a total schmuck, but hey, I know your dad, it's all right. You think that's going to work?
No.
It's not going to work. It's not going to work for me. As much as I may like to ride in on the coattails of my father, it's not going to work, because it says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I've started trembling again, because I haven't been working out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I look at these verses and know I fall short. And it's not God's fault. It's not my wife's fault. It's not my child's fault. It's my fault. It's my fault that I fall short. It's my fault that I'm not fulfilling the scripture. It's my fault. It's not your fault, Paul. It's not the South Carolina ministry's fault. It's not my dad's fault. If only he was nicer to me, then it would baloney. Almost I had to self-edit. It's not. If only Steve had talked a little gentler. Baloney. It's my fault. I have to humble myself to receive. And when I do, I'm blessed. I receive the grace. And that's the gift that all of us have outstretched to us today. If you're angry, why are you angry? Pride. Stop being angry. Humble yourself. Stop resisting God's word. Receive it. And be saved. Paul, you got just... Well, you were out. Sorry, guys. I hope you all have a great day.